So Luke tells us that it had been about 8 days. Matthew and Mark tell us it had been 6 days. So what we should take from that is it had been about a week. A week since Jesus had been praying alone and then came back and asked the disciples who the crowds said he was. And they had answered John the Baptist, Elijah, an ancient prophet. And then Jesus looked them deep in the eyes and he said, "So who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Anointed One, the Messiah." And Jesus had ordered them silent. And then he started saying some things that they really didn't understand about taking up their cross and following him and losing their lives to save it. And he said that the Son of Man must undergo suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and then raised on the third day. They heard those words. They echoed in their thoughts all week long. Surely this had to be some kind of parable, something they just didn't really understand the meaning of. There must be some way to decode it, because he ended by saying, "Truly there are some standing here who would not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." So he must be God's chosen one. And what he's saying is he's going to overthrow the evil and the corrupt powers of this world, right? Silence for a week. No more deep discussions. Life went on as usual. And then Jesus took Peter, James, and John away from the rest, up the mountain, high up on the mountain. By the time they got up there, they were weary. They were tired. The terrain was rocky and dusty. The slope was gentle, but it was steady. They came to rest as they reached the summit, and their eyelids began to grow heavy. And Peter, James, and John were witnesses as Jesus prayed. And I just imagine how they were half asleep, half awake. Each one of them must have been wondering, do I believe what my eyes are seeing? Because as they watched, they began to see that Moses and Elijah were there with Jesus, and they were discussing God's plan for his life. Moses, who went up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights twice. Moses, who received from God the tablets of the covenant. Moses, whose face had shone because he had been talking with God. Moses, who led his people who led God's people out of bondage in Egypt to the promised land. And Elijah, he'd had a mountaintop moment too, but he'd fled to the mountain in fear. Elijah there was visited by an angel who provided bread and a jar of water twice on his journey for 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah, who stood on the mountainside out of his safe cave, and a strong wind blew enough to cause an avalanche of rocks. And there was an earthquake and a great fire raged, and then silence fell. Elijah, who God sent to anoint a new king over Israel to pass his mantle on to the next prophet, Elisha. Elijah, who ascended in a whirlwind. These were the two who were there with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. They'd been prophesied that they would be there at the end time. And here they stood with Jesus talking about his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. The Greek word that we translate departure is exodus. They stood talking about Jesus' exodus. And as they talked, Jesus' face is changed. He is transfigured. Moses led God's people out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. and Jesus will lead God's people out of slavery to sin and death to the promised life. Elijah passed on his mantle of God's work in the world and ascended to heaven, and so will Jesus. I wonder if a week earlier, when Jesus asked the disciples who the crowd said he was and who they thought he was, if his understanding of the path that laid before him was incomplete. Because as he talks to Moses and Elijah, he is changed. And Peter sees the three of them together and he misinterprets what's happening. And he says, oh, it's good we're here. It's really good. It's good we're here because we can make you a Sukkot. Sukkot were the tents that farmers used when it was time for the harvest. And they were also what the Israelites used during the Exodus from Egypt, during those 40 years of wandering in the desert. Biblical scholar Robert Tannehill says of Peter's reaction, Peter apparently thinks that Jesus has already arrived in glory, which would eliminate the need for an Exodus involving suffering and death. He thinks Jesus has already arrived in glory with Moses and Elijah, and so we're going to build a Sukkot here for all three of you. But that's not the way of mountaintop moments. Just like Moses went down the mountain and there found the golden calf, just like Elijah proved the power of God and then ran to hide in a cave, Jesus is on the mountaintop of his life and his ministry. He is anointed as God's choice, and he knows it, and the disciples know it. But people who climb the mountain and reach the summit know that that's not the end, right? You don't climb a mountain and reach the summit and stay there. Ed Viestjers is a mountaineer and an author. He's the only American who has climbed the six highest peaks in the world, all without supplemental oxygen. He's pretty incredible. He's climbed Mount Everest 5 times, and his goal is to climb all 14 of the highest peaks in the world. In his book, No Boundaries, The Spirit of Adventure, he reminds the reader that the summit is just the halfway point. It's a round trip, he says. Getting to the summit is optional. Getting down is mandatory. Getting to the summit is optional. Getting down is mandatory. Moses didn't climb to the mountaintop to experience God. He experienced God on the mountaintop because God was equipping him to lead God's people when he went back down the mountain. Elijah didn't run to the mountaintop to experience God. He experienced God on the mountaintop because God was equipping him to lead God's people when he got back down the mountain. Jesus didn't climb the mountaintop to experience God. He experienced God on the mountaintop because God was equipping him for the exodus that lay ahead of him. Equipping him for the journey to Jerusalem to lead God's people out of slavery to sin and death and into a new life, to establish a new kingdom where God's will reigns. They went to the mountaintop seeking God. But the purpose wasn't to have a mountaintop moment. The purpose was to be equipped to carry out God's purposes for their lives back down the mountain. And like Moses and Elijah and Jesus, we come to this table seeking God. But the purpose isn't to have a mountaintop moment. to experience God here in this moment. The purpose is to meet God here and to be equipped to carry out God's purposes for our lives back down the mountain. Mountaintop moments are exhilarating. We see things there that we never saw from the valley. But when we reach the mountaintop, when we experience God present with us, the goal is not to stay in that moment. In that moment, we are equipped with the strength we need, with the courage we need, with the perseverance we need to go back down the mountain to the common and into the valleys of life. And there will be times, and the reality is more often than not, when we are more like Peter, James, and John than we're like Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. When we're confused, when we're terrified, when we're grasping to understand what is going on and how things happening in our lives around us could possibly be used by God for good. And the gospel news for us, the good news for us, that goes down with us down the mountain is God's word to Peter, James, and John is God's word to us. This is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him. Live his teachings. Love as he loved. Remember him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.